listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, we want to see abortion ended, period. Pro-lifers realize that that is, while a laudable goal, probably an unrealistic one. We do have to work to write the proper laws and, in the case of recent events, perhaps even overturn Roe v. Wade. But we still need to get to root causes. Why do many women seek an abortion? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about helping women considering abortion, Cheryl DeWitt. She's Executive Director of Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries based in Sanford, Florida. Cheryl, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me.
If Roe is overturned, does that mean that there'll be less need for crisis pregnancy centers and maternity homes?
No, I don't believe so. I think when Roe is overturned, I think the need for pregnancy centers will shift a little bit, but there will always be unplanned pregnancies and women that are in crisis that need support and help and are seeking those things from pregnancy centers and then maternity homes as well. Many of the women that come to us at the maternity home are fleeing abuse and bad relationships or trying to get off the streets.
Why do many women consider abortion?
The main reason that women state that they seek an abortion is because they don't feel like they're able to raise the child financially, that they don't have the resources and the things that they need to provide for the child. So that is one of the main reasons as that they give for seeking an abortion, is they don't feel financially equipped.
So what can pro-lifers provide that essentially takes abortion off the table as an option?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pro-lifers really can do a whole lot. First of all, support your local pregnancy centers and maternity homes in your area. Make sure that they're well-funded and that they have the things that they need to provide for the women. We basically need to solve the reasons that they're seeking abortion, which foremost is financial and having a stable home, a place to raise the child. Many of the women that come to us are living in a homeless situation or couch surfing or in a car. So there's a lot of things that we can do to solve those underlying problems and really walk with the woman into basically a recovery kind of state, you know, from homelessness to stability. So they can support places like Redeeming Life, which we have a home here in Florida, and we're expanding into Illinois next. And your local pregnancy centers are always in need of support and volunteers. Also, the girls really need spiritual support. They're seeking these things, and they're at a space in their life where they're very open to the gospel, very open to the healing that it brings. And so I think that places like Redeeming Life will always have a role there, and that's where the pro-lifers can actually put their beliefs and their passions into action through supporting a maternity home like Redeeming Life.
Respond to the common pro-choice accusation that pro-lifers only care about women when they're pregnant and babies when they're in the womb.
Yeah, well, that is a common thing that we hear, that, you know, we drop them after that, and that's absolutely not true. Every pregnancy center that I've had any sort of relationship with has an aftercare program. At our home at Redeeming Life, we also have a very long-term program. It takes a long time to correct or fix the problem of homelessness or abuse. Those things don't get solved overnight. Our maternity home program is a full year. The women that come into our program can stay up to 12 to 14 months, depending on their particular needs. So we obviously, through just the length of service, are dedicated to being an intricate part of this woman's life from this point forward. We also provide a transitional house that our women are eligible for after that 12 to 14 month period if they choose to stay in the program. And that's an additional 2 years. So we are investing deeply into these women's lives and into their success and into their future. So that's absolutely not a true statement that we only care about the babies in the womb and the mothers while they're pregnant. It's absolutely no evidence of that. As a matter of fact, we have our program speaks quite to the contrary of that.
What motivated you to become actively involved in the pro-life movement?
Well, many years ago, my husband and I attended a Lutherans for Life conference, and we got to hear Dr. Jean Garten speak about abortion for the first time, and that was really shocking to us as a young couple. We had not had any exposure to that. It had not touched our lives in any way. When we got home from that event, my husband actually was the one who said, you know, Cheryl, we need to help these women. We need to do something about it. And maybe if they had a safe place to go, they wouldn't consider abortion as their first option. And so that's when our dream was born, 30-some years ago now, when Ed was a seminary student. So the timing was never really right for us to actually act on that. We did visit that dream many times through the years. But when our daughter came home from college in a crisis pregnancy herself, that was the real propellant for us, because we realized her options were open and she could have had an abortion and never spoken about it, and we could have lost a grandchild. As a matter of fact, she was encouraged to have an abortion by others. That, coupled with our desire from many years ago to provide help, was the thing that really moved us forward. And then God just laid everything else out in front of us.
Is Redeeming Life merely a crisis pregnancy center?
No, and that's a common misconception about Redeeming Life. We are Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries, and we operate maternity homes and transitional housing for women that are in crisis pregnancy. We are basically the next step after the crisis pregnancy center. So a woman generally will go to the local center and get her pregnancy test, hopefully an ultrasound if they're available, and get some initial spiritual counseling and guidance, and hopefully talked off the ledge of abortion, or at least shown a different pattern or a different possibility. And that's what we really are. We are a better choice or another option. And that's how we like for them to say that to us, is here's another choice if you want to go a different way. We are not that part. We are not the crisis center. We are underneath the crisis center as basically a referral service and a support for them, for the women that they refer to us.
So what kind of life skills do many of these young women need?
It's a great question. You know, what I often say is these young women have not really been raised, and they need so many things, very basic things often. How to properly maintain and clean a home, how to keep up with a home, which is basically a time management kind of a skill. So they learn all kinds of skills around basically having a safe and healthy home. Parenting, we have a process that we use that's called Conscious Discipline by Dr. Becky Bailey, and it's a wonderful parenting guide and philosophy. We teach them that. They learn lots of budgeting and money management. They are required to save money. We don't charge anything for these women to live at Redeeming Life Maternity Home, but they are required to save a minimum of 40% of their income. And so that's teaching them that eventually you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your utilities and existence, kind of gets them into that habit early on. And we continue that throughout the whole program. They learn how to cook and, like I said, clean. And they learn how to make Jesus part of their everyday life through our daily devotions. We worship together. And they learn that Jesus isn't just a part of their Sunday life or their every now and then life, that He is here for us every single day, every single moment, and He walks with them. So that's probably not considered a life skill, but it is a life habit. It's a way that we demonstrate and model to them how to live an active Christian life.
What is it like to live in a maternity home?
Well, it's actually quite nice. Our home that we remodeled in 2013 is very new and clean, and we have a daily routine. All of the women are required to be up and about their day by 9 o'clock. We do inspections in our rooms to be sure everything is up to standard. And that's basically a stewardship skill that we try to teach, that we need to learn to take care of the things that God's provided so that it's there for them and also there for the woman that comes behind them. So there's a very routine day and actually week when the girls are working. They're either working at a job, a paying job, or they are working on program work, a Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. There's no television and laying about. So they are actively working on their program, on getting their life redirected and resurrected. So it's very routine. There is some downtime. You shop on Saturdays. You know, and everybody goes together and gets their personal items and so forth. And we worship and go to Bible study together on Sundays.
Is there any attempt to try and reconcile these women with the fathers of their children?
That's very individualized. Many times, unfortunately, the situations are that the gentleman has abandoned the women that come to us. That tends to be the experience that we see. I know that's not the case everywhere or in every unplanned pregnancy. So I want to be careful with that. So that really depends on the woman and her relationship with the baby's father, whether it is healthy, whether it is something that both parties desire to move forward. If so, we are there to support her in that as long as it's a healthy relationship. And our counselor, we provide private counseling for the girls, professional counseling, and they work with the women quite a bit on that particular issue. So we have seen it, but only a time or two in our particular experience. But we certainly would encourage it as long as the relationship is not toxic.
How do the women find out about Redeeming Life Outreach?
They find out about us through our pregnancy centers all across the country. We do our very best to get the word out there that we're out there. We have a website, which most of our applicants come to us through either the website or through a referral from the crisis pregnancy centers. Also, we try to network with our local hospitals here, and we take women from anywhere in the country. So the fact that we're located in Florida and soon to be in Illinois, we can take women from any place in the country at all. We've actually had women from Haiti as well who are here on a student visa or a green card. So we take women from anywhere, but generally they come to us either through the internet or through the crisis pregnancy center.
You have mentioned expanding into Illinois. Why are you doing that?
Well, we're expanding into Illinois because we really believe that there is so much work that we can do in this particular area of providing safe, stable, Christ-centered homes for these girls and these women that are in crisis pregnancies all across our country. Our big desire is to be in every district in the LCMS, to have one home in every district in the LCMS, because we can do more here. We can do more through supporting the mother, through getting the mother's education in hand, and getting her in a good spiritual place with Jesus. So we really feel like there is so much positive work that can be done through maternity home ministry that we want to see it all over the country. Illinois has some of the most liberal abortion laws in our entire country. So it's sort of a natural place for us to go. But there's a wonderful pro-life group of people up there that are so passionate to help. So it was a natural place for us to go for those two reasons. There's a passionate and very active pro-life population there. And there's also the most liberal abortion laws around.
Cheryl DeWitt is Executive Director of Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries based in Sanford, Florida. You'll find a link to Redeeming Life Outreach at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, December the 3rd, we are going to be studying a hymn that many Christians will be singing in the early days of this Advent season, the Advent season hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. It's got a great heritage, great theology. It pretty much captures what Advent is all about and what Christians await with eager expectation. Pastor Will Whedon, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.